You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's the all-in clear-out sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue S for 0% APR for 84 months, or get an up to $5,500 cash purchase bonus on select other models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.
Final hour, Overdrive continues. TSN 1050 on the TSN app, your home smart speaker, and up on TSN 2. Brian Hayes, O-Dog, Jeff O'Neill. Jamie Noodles McLennan, Alex Anthopoulos in about 5 minutes. We've got some MVP pick'em we'll tell you about. We'll get into later.
What's
this hour.
MVP pick'em?
Well, basically, I was thinking about it for the game tonight where you've got two potential MVP candidates. In fact, at this point, I think they are just that, Kyler Murray against Russell Wilson. So we'll get into that conversation in terms of which one has the better case. Which one do you think is more likely to win the MVP this year? And then, with that being the case, and with that in mind, I'll throw out a couple of other options. Player versus player. Player versus the field, maybe on their own team. In terms of the upcoming season in each respective sport. You want a couple of examples that we'll answer a little bit later on?
As a tease?
Yeah. So, the one will be Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson for the remainder of this year. Who do you think will have a better shot at winning the MVP? You got to pick one or the other. Hence, MVP pick'em. When the NBA season starts, better chance of winning the MVP next year, LeBron James or Kevin Durant, and why? Austin Matthews or Leon Draisaitl, and why? And maybe some team-type MVPs. Better chance of being the team MVP, Carey Price or the field in Montreal, Connor Hellebuyck or the field in Winnipeg. You get where I'm going with this?
I do. I like it.
Pick'em MVP coming up at 6:30.
Yeah, so we'll get to that a little bit later in the hour. And the O-Dog will be on the clock making his pick. Al's brother will make his pick tonight, and I guess O's going to ride that wave, and it's going to be a fun one. Big game tonight. We'll get to our best bets brought to you by Proline later in the hour. And I want to get into what Theo Epstein said earlier this week as well with Anthopoulos about how he feels like the game has got to change. But he admitted that he was one of the people, if not a leading factor, in the game being what the game is today. Highly analytical, strikeout rates through the roof, launch angles being the priority. And he basically said, you know, I don't like what I've created, you know, effectively. He's like, we need way more action. We need way more balls in play. We need base runners running. We need bunts. I don't know if he actually said all this, but that's effectively what he was getting to. It's like
give
we need it to be more entertaining.
Yeah, it's not entertaining enough. Like go ahead, O.
Do you think they'll ever get rid of the shift? Like just say you cannot do this. You have to be in a certain area.
I think they will. I don't think they have to. I don't think they should. It seems kind of corny to me, but I think they're going to. Rob Manfred has alluded to that many times, and I think they're going to at some point. And that still isn't going to change everything. Right, you take like for starters, you don't shift on every batter. There's a limited amount of guys in baseball that you even apply the shift to.
It's out there, like you see it a lot, Brian. You watch a baseball game,
it's out there.
There's some formations that are out there a lot. I saw a bunch of formations in the playoffs I hadn't really seen a whole lot of. Four outfielders and just three guys on one side of the infield. It was kind of goofy looking, but I guess it works.
Well, it's all analytically driven. They all know the stats. They know exactly the data of where a guy generally hits, when he hits, where he's going to hit, and we're gonna place our defenders there. There's too much information. Like, that's the issue, but I don't know how you're ever going to roll that back. It's easy for Epstein to say it now. He's technically unemployed.
There's only going to be more coming in. There's only going to be more information coming in.
But I would argue, though, you can still have the same amount of information. It's how you interpret it. And if you have somebody, a skip that has a little bit of throwback in them, you allow them to use instinct. That's where, I think there could be maybe an adaptation to what Epstein was talking about. He said, give it back to the players. I'm also thinking, give it back to the managers, the guys who are in the dugout going, you know what, I think this guy's going. Or let him battle through on the mound. I'm not taking him out in the fifth inning. I'm going to let him keep going.
Right, and I kind of hope, again, that will happen, but I don't really believe it will because, again, it's easy for Epstein to say that. He's got two World Series rings and he's unemployed.
Right.
Be the new guy on the job with a $50,000 payroll, and you got to win or you're out. you're not going to sit there and say, I'm going to do whatever is for the in the best interest of the game. You're going to do whatever is in the best interest of you and your security. And
what about the hiring process? Don't you think it's like, okay, you can have the job, whoever your name is, but when I say this guy's only going two innings or three innings, that's what's happening. Understood? Yes or no?
Right.
And
exactly.
If you say yes, that's what's happening during a game. That pitcher goes out, it's three innings, and he could be Roger Clemens out there. He's coming out.
Managers
coming out.
Have very little power. Very little power.
You're right.
And that is something that would have to change to get to what you want to see happen, Noodle. And I do too. Is
right.
More of a feel for the game, some more life in the game, some more emotion, some more entertainment value. But it's not only the managers in the managerial position, it's also the players. Like, strikeout rates are what they are is because guys are launching for the fences every single time they're up at the plate. Right?
Yeah.
A single is almost a swear word now in baseball. Like, it's
bunting.
Bunting is elite. You get laughed out of the game. You get laughed out of the room. How dare you give up an out? You know, and it's all analytically driven, and it has been very effective. And Epstein has been at the forefront of it in Boston and Chicago, and he's benefited greatly. But on his way out of Chicago, he said he doesn't like it. You know, effectively, he thinks we need more entertainment in the sport. I could not agree more.
There was a couple situations, Brian, before we bring in our next guest. In the playoffs, I'm like, you could easily, like important games, important situations, you could easily lay a bunt down the third baseline. There's no one there. The old Big Poppy situation where it would just be drop it down there. You're going to first.
Yeah.
You're advancing a runner. You're doing something, but they just wouldn't do it.
Don't do it. And a lot of guys don't even work on that anymore either. Like bunting, you don't even have to work on that part of your game because you're probably never going to get asked to do it. Here is the president of baseball operations and GM down in Atlanta. He's still got the skin in the game. He's one of the 30 GMs still kicking around baseball. Here is Alex Anthopoulos. How you doing, Alex?
Doing well, guys. You?
We're doing very well. We were talking about Theo Epstein and his comments on his way out of Chicago where, you know, he just said, listen, I have been the benefactor of analytics. I have been one of the guys who was driving it in Boston, in Chicago. You have been one that's benefited greatly. Everyone does now. You have to. But Theo basically said he doesn't kind of love where the game is at. He wants to see more entertainment value. He wants to see more balls in play and more action. Would you concur with that? How do you feel about those comments?
Yeah, I mean, Theo's obviously Hall of Fame, and he's not there yet, but he's going to be. He's the Hall of Fame GM executive, and he's really bright, and I've known him for a long time now and been on committees with him and things like that. So he's very passionate about the game. He has great ideas. And, look, generally speaking, I think, you know, he cares about it like we all do, and we want to improve the game, no doubt about it. Strikeout rate has climbed. More action, more balls in play is always a good thing. You know, at the same time, when we're working, as he mentioned in his press conference, you know, our responsibility is to win games however we see fit. So, you know, 3 years ago, you see Lance McCullers in the World Series. I think he threw 23 straight curveballs or something like that. You know, especially in the postseason, you really break down things down and you really will hammer home on any type of perceived weaknesses that may be out there. But, look, we love our game. I love it. But there's always way to continue to improve upon it. And that's going to be a debate that's going to go on for years.
Alex, when you were in Toronto, I remember you were speaking to the press and you said you always valued the numbers, the analytics. But when you brought in guys like Donaldson and Tulowitzki, you also saw how important leadership is and those intangibles in the clubhouse. Where are you now, a few years later, as far as weighing the percentages of what's more important in the clubhouse and to have success?
You know, I debate myself every offseason when I'm in this position and I'm looking to get players and bring players in, and we spend a ton of time on what type of character they have, what kind of teammates they are, what kind of workers they are, a ton. You know, and the most gratifying thing for me last year, obviously we didn't get to the World Series, but we got really close, was we had a bunch of guys that have been around a long time in a lot of clubhouses, and they all said that was the best clubhouse they'd ever been a part of. And that's rewarding. I mean, at the end of the day, it doesn't ensure you're going to win the World Series, but that's something that I feel like we can get right. You know, I will say it's something that I still value incredibly. I wonder sometimes maybe if I'm overdoing it at times and I walk away from really talented players that have some warts. And, you know, when I've talked to my staff about this, that I really paid attention to this in the offseason of 2014, leading into that last 2015 season with Toronto. I was really strict and didn't deviate from it at all. and continue that same thing when I've been in Atlanta. And, you know, whether it's – and what I don't know is it that we're that strict about makeup and character and work ethic, or is it just we happen to have more talented clubs, we're better defensively, but I'm scared to go the other way and scared to even lighten the reins, I guess, on doing it and the focus and the attention to detail on it. So I'm still really big on it, probably more so than ever. And, you know, so when we approach players, we have a very small group of players that we think fit exactly what we want. You know, one, we try to get talent. And then in that group of talented players, how many are above the line or cross the line on in terms of what we want as a teammate and everything else? And then you get to a really small group, and then we're going to go hard after those guys, pay a little more, you know, maybe have to give up more in trade, but very, very specific in terms of what we want to have. And it's worked, so I'm not confident enough to make a change because we've won the division each of my last 4 years as a GM.
Well, with both of these questions that we've asked you about the Epstein comments and then about, you know, character and trying to juggle the intangibles with the tangibles, it ultimately comes down to information. And you've always been a guy that has sought out the information. And maybe to a point, I guess you're suggesting, maybe at your own peril. Maybe you know too much or you're thinking too much. I mean, is that basically what you're trying to tell us? Like, information's a good thing, but could there be too much information in today's game?
Yeah, the analogy I use, it's like the forbidden fruit. Like, there's a bunch of really good players out there, and you start to dig, and you find out they might have a negative influence on other players. And, you know, I worry about that. We have a young team, and I worry about how players impact other players and affect them. That's not going to show up in the stat sheet and so on. And on the flip side of it, I think if guys can really bring added value to a player, we'll probably, you know, really put a premium on that. And maybe it's to too many extremes. Now, that being said, we've had success with that model and doing it. So, but it's hard at times where, you know, whether it's been the trade deadline or whether it's been in the off season, there's a bunch of players where I'm like, wow, this guy is so talented, you know, tools wise, performance statistically fits everything that we want. Then you start to dig and you find out about how they are in the room and maybe how divisive they might be and how they affect other players. And there's a lot of times I walk away, and it's tough because I know how talented they are between the lines and how much they can help us win games on the field, but I walk away. And that's where I still struggle at this point. Could I maybe be a little more tolerant and a little more open-minded? Will that lead to more wins? But, you know, all that being said, of course, you want to win a World Series, only 30 clubs, only one of 30 are going to do that. Again, we've won the division every year. We've had success. I think we've we've overachieved. And if you look at the projections each year with where everyone has thought the Braves are going to end up in terms of wins, we always exceed that. And that could be because of our advance work, or is it because of what we have in the room? I like to believe it's all of it. But, you know, I'm not going to change it if we continue to have success.
With Alex Anthopoulos, are you motivated by those prognostications and, you know, TSN, ESPN, everyone giving takes on how many wins you're going to get, who's going to win the division? Obviously, you see it, you hear it, everyone does. But how does it affect you personally when you see that kind of stuff?
I love it. And that's not because I get a chip on my shoulder, I get worked up. I love it. I'd rather go below the radar. I'd much rather that than be the guy that people are projecting you're going to win the World Series. I also, just as a general matter of course, I guess, in doing these jobs, I think most GMs probably feel this way. I worry. You know, even if you have a good team, you're still worried about, you know, we have enough here, we have enough depth, we have enough relievers, all of it. Just, I'm worried all the time, is our advanced process good? You know, Greg Popovich talked about this, what he called it, appropriate fear. And I think I have a lot of appropriate fear for opponent, for things going wrong. I'd rather prepare for the worst, and I think that keeps me on my toes. And I think it allows me to perform at a higher level. And it's the only way I know how to do the job.
How cool was it seeing your guy Freddie Freeman win the MVP like that? He seems like he's well-liked. Everybody loves him. Just how cool was that experience watching that?
Yeah, you know what? So, you know, the only other time I'd been part of an organization with an MVP when I was in this role was Josh Donaldson in 2015, but I was already gone when he won that. So it just didn't feel the same. And, you know, I could tell you that, you know, I was expecting him to win the MVP, but when it happened that night, I was at home in Atlanta eating dinner with my family. We knew the announcement was going to be pretty soon. So we actually, you know, the four of us, I got a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old, we all kind of got around the TV and watched it. And it was, you know, I guess, within, obviously it's one person who's winning the award. It's an individual award, but there's tremendous organizational pride that comes with it. And I talked to him after, and, you know, he was so excited. And, you know, like you said, he's a great guy. You know, he loves the team and the organization. But I think across the board, it's one of those things that the whole organization celebrates because it's such a special achievement to an MVP of an entire league. And it was really nice. I didn't know how it was going to feel, but it's something that as a GM, if you're fortunate enough to have a player to win an MVP, it's a great experience.
With Braves GM Alex Anthopoulos, as far as I know, you have no experience being an executive during a global pandemic, so you're walking into something that you've never done before alongside 29 other GMs in the league. How do you expect this offseason to play out compared to a conventional offseason?
You know, I was not sure, and I would say in November it's mostly slow, but I would say it's comparable years past, not entirely. It's a little slower, but we know we're going to play. I mean, we just had a successful year where we got through it, so we're going to play next year. Everyone's still judged on wins and losses and expecting to get to the postseason and win the World Series. So I think the fact that we all live this, we were successful, we learned a lot from it, all of us. Players certainly know what to expect going into next year. You know, now it's just a matter of trying to build a team and put things together and obviously trying to work trades and so on. And even in past off seasons, it's just it's a long off season in baseball, more so in the last few years. We're negotiating deals into spring training, well into spring training a lot of times. So I don't expect that to change anytime soon with the way the pace has gone so far.
Go ahead, O.
Alex, before we get you out of here, do you have an update on Mike Soroka? He's our Canadian guy. We're all interested. Is he healing up? He's going to be ready to rock, or what's his status?
Yeah, so he's in Atlanta. He's rehabbing in Atlanta. You know, I my office, it's really nice. They built a new ballpark here, so it overlooks the field. So I get to see him go out there, basically play catch every day. So he still has a limp when he walks, but it's still early. But he'll be ready to throw when we get to spring training. The issue is going to be fielding his position, being able to go cover first base. Now, right now, there's no DH in the NL for 2021 as of right now. So he's going to have to be able to hit, run the bases, do all those things. So that likely is going to take longer than when we would have opening day. But, you know, the good thing is we'll be able to have his arm prepared, ready to go, have him stretched out, built up. And, you know, we expect him to be back to 100% and be a huge add for us in 2021.
Yep, he's obviously an awesome arm. He's a great interview, too. We've had him on a couple of times. He's a great guy. And awesome. Obviously, we always appreciate when you take the time to join us as well, Alex. So enjoy the rest of the offseason. Good luck with everything playing out. And I'm sure we'll do this again down the road. Thank you for this.
All right, guys. Really glad to be on. Appreciate
there he
it.
Is, Alex Anthopoulos, the former GM up here in Toronto and pretty successful GM down in Atlanta, I'd say.
You know,
working
how
out pretty well
would,
for him.
You know how weird it would be, like, just – like doing everyday things, like just walking out and throwing, like playing catch with somebody, and your boss is kind of can eyeball that at any time. It's a weird dynamic. Like a lot of hockey rinks, the practice rinks, the GM, the president, they got an office. They can, like any move, and they can see it all, man. They don't miss anything either. Hockey people, baseball people,
they're watching, man.
They know who's hungover, who's doing what, whose stories they're telling. They're just. You gotta be careful, man.
And there are pipelines to them too. As much as we love the trainers and all of that, the trainers know who they work for.
Oh yeah,
like that.
They know if the GM comes down and goes, "What time did he get here?" The trainer's not going to say, "No comment, not talking." I'm not going to mess around with my relationship. He has it documented what time you walked into that gym.
Oh
I mean, look what happened at the junior camp today. Which, again, this is like
that
day
was a
three
hero
of
move.
Such a hero move. So Dylan Cousins and Kirby Doc walk onto the ice right at 11:30, I guess. And that was the second that the head coach would gather the group. And so they were, you know, they were at the rink. They were getting ready. And they were slow to get out on the ice, which we all know as hockey players, you're supposed to be out there well before practice starts. It's not the first time. But the head coach goes up to them and, I guess, gave them an ultimatum that ultimately wasn't truly an ultimatum. They had one choice. You either don't come on the ice, you take your gear off and go pay the penalty, or you come on, but if we allow you to come on, what you're proving is that the rules can be bent. You know, that was basically the report from Rashad.
It almost seemed like it was staged. Doesn't it seem weird that two of the veteran guys with some NHL experience, I think Cousins has played some games in Buffalo, hasn't he?
Yeah.
It's like, it's almost like it was staged. Okay, I want you guys to come out at 11:30. I'm going to set an example so the group knows that nobody can get away with it. It was just, I don't know. You got to set standards, but it just seemed like a little bit much for day two on the ice.
Right. And two guys that are like eternal locks to make the team and play huge minutes. Like, they're not there trying out. They're there warming up because they're on the team and they're playing. And it's kind of like, and I believe the head coach afterwards said, you know, it proved how much they care their leadership that they accepted the penalty. As if they couldn't, like, what else were they going to do? Be like, no, we'll take the bent rules. Yeah, we're coming out. We're going to fire up practice.
I would have rather one of them, like, you know, Cousins hasn't played yet, but he will. But, yeah, Doc played, obviously, in Chicago last year.
Yeah, I saw him play preseason games, though. He's played in an NHL game. And,
top 10 pick, both of them.
And they're both going to be, you know, very, very good players at the NHL level. But I would have liked to see, I don't know why, maybe that's just the dark side of me. I would have liked to see one of them go, no, I'm coming out.
Yeah. Like, rules bent. Yeah, I'm here. Yeah. I'm practicing. Yeah. I'm ready. Yeah. I'm ready. Let's go.
And just so you know, just so you know, you know, like, if you want, I'll just call my NHL team. They can recall me and I'll go play, you know, play with them.
Or the other part is they go outside and there's Ryan Rashog with a camera and they just squeal tires of a G-Wagon Mercedes 5 minutes after, and they don't stay for anything. Just ninja dust.
Yeah. I mean, these kids are good kids too. Like, that's, you know that they got jammed up. And it could be so much that they were both, like, having a conversation in the dress room and just lost track of time.
Happens, right? Like, if you're a slow dresser and you're like, oh, man, where am I? You know, you got to get your gear on and get out there, tie your skates up or something. Then maybe the other guy was like, I'll wait for you because we're both in it together. Yeah. You know, but it would be panic-inducing if you were two guys on the bubble. You'd be freaking. But Doc and Cousins are locks. I mean, they're locks to play.
My rookie year in the NHL, Mike Milbury left me at the rink when I was signing autographs for people on the way out of the rink in Ottawa.
Come on.
This dope. I'm walking behind him. Like, you're signing autographs for people as you're walking out of the dressing room and stuff. We played the Ottawa Senators in
their old barn.
The rink is underneath the
67s play. Yeah, they still play there, I think.
Yeah, so I'm walking out, and there were some people like, hey, can you stop and sign? Milbury walks by me, and he's like, you're last guy, hurry up. And I'm like, okay. It's not like I stopped and signed for 10 more. It's just you're signing and you're walking. And Milbury gets like the speed walk. He steps on the bus, the door closed, and the bus takes off. Like, it's snowing out in Ottawa. It's 11 o'clock, and they're flying back to New York. And I'm chasing the bus through the parking lot.
It's just a gutless move.
And I'm 21 years old.
He knew exactly what he was doing. Yeah.
What a dope.
Just being a hero.
And you know what? And I ended up, and our trainers were gone and everything. It was like from the movies. I grabbed a cab, and we were chasing the bus through a residential neighborhood, and we lost him because you're not flying out of, like, the regular Ottawa airport. You're flying out of the charter terminal.
Right, you're going through the back.
Oh, I was so rattled. I ended up beating the team bus onto the plane because somehow our cabbie came across the trainers, and I jumped in with the trainer truck and got on there. And then Mike pretended that he didn't, you know, were you on the bus?
Yo, I didn't even know that. I didn't know you were behind me. Yeah, total hero move.
Total hero move. Yeah.
We'll get to our best bets brought to you by ProLine and some MVP pick'em. I am looking forward to
this.
Very creative, very new, very different, very original.
Mm-hmm.
We'll get to that next. All right, best bets brought to you by ProLine later in the hour. Al's brother will make his pick for the night, and the O-Dog, that's his name, the O-Dog, not Beansy. Stop calling him that. We're not doing that anymore. We'll follow suit, and he'll make his pick for the big one tonight, double or nothing. Ride it or fade it. I think it's time to ride it. I think he's long overdue for a win. The cooler coaster is going to come to a stop, and it's going to heat up. It's going to be a heater coaster.
By the way, friend of the show emailed in and said, Jimmy Nance has no leverage, so who does he think he's kidding? That's from a friend of the show.
Right, yeah.
I saw that email.
That's interesting. I think someone would scoop him up, or Jimmy Nance could just say, fine, hold the bag, I'm out of here. What are you going to have,
Ron Lundqvist? That's the leverage. That's the leverage, and he mentioned a couple other guys, this friend of the show, but that's the leverage. Okay, you don't want to pay me, I'm out of here. I'll go sit in Pebble Beach, where my house is, on the course, and I'll hang out, and you're going to have some other guy do it.
Yeah, you're going to have Vern Lundqvist do it.
That's the leverage.
Right. Speaking of friends of the show, shout out to our friend Kara Waglin, who is a mother of two now, had a baby boy yesterday. So shout out to Kara, Bobby, and Jake, and young Casey is along for the ride. So shout out. We're thinking of Kara, and everything went well. That's great.
Yeah,
awesome.
I just
news.
Shot her a text. She shot it. I you always like send a congratulatory text, but you never expect a response, especially early on. Like,
no,
maybe
she's
just
all
arrived.
Over it. All over
return,
it.
Return the text.
Yeah, I said good luck. Was that wrong?
I don't know. Like before
like what
the
I meant
baby
by,
or
I said,
after?
I said no. I said congrats, but now you're a mom of two. Like welcome to the club. Good luck. You know,
she knows what you. I think, she knows,
I think she understands.
And you know what you're talking about. Oh,
yes.
You have three. So
the bottom line is, she's and her husband. They're not sleeping for a year and a half.
Yeah. That's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so. All right, here we go. MVP pick 'em. Okay, I'm gonna name either two names or a name and the field. We all know how that works out, and we have to make the case for who we think has a better chance of winning the MVP. All right, whether it's the remainder of this season in the NFL or the upcoming seasons in the NBA, NHL, MLB, etc. All right, we'll start with the game tonight. Better chance of winning the MVP this year: Kyler Murray or Russell Wilson, and why?
I'm going to go with Kyler Murray just because it seems like everybody in this process is looking for that guy, that second-year player that just takes off, and that's what he's done. It's just a new flavor of the month, and I think everybody's going to be heavily on board with that. Our guy Jesse Palmer said it at the beginning of the year. Hayes, you tried to steal his comments yesterday.
No, I didn't.
Word for word.
Everyone's saying the same thing. We're all stealing.
No. He was on Monday Morning Quarterback and said, by the way, I picked this in the beginning before the season started, and this is what I predicted would happen. Kyler Murray for me. Russ Wilson, it's like everybody, and by the way, it's situational when you trend up and when you trend down. Trending down in the middle of the season towards the end of it is not the right time to do it. We saw an MVP race the Hart Trophy with Taylor Hall. Right at the end of the season, the last 20 games, he trended through the roof, and everybody's like, there's your MVP. So whoever can close this out, the last quarter of the season, is going to be your winner. And I say it's Kyler Murray. Probably one of my best answers I've ever given on the show.
Yeah, that's quality analysis. Yeah. It also is going to come down to the team. And why I would say Murray is because I don't think Seattle's very good outside of Russ and DK Metcalf. They got good pieces. Bobby Wagner, Jamal Adams. That defense, though, is awful. And I think Seattle might win tonight, but I think Arizona is going to win the division. You know, so if you win the division as a second-year quarterback, everything's going to be handed to Kyler Murray.
I would lean
Murray.
I'm with Murray just based on what you were saying as far as the flavor of the month. Everyone's kind of on him. Russell Wilson, everyone knows, and you're always looking past what you're taking for granted. And that's why I think Murray's going to get that
and
little extra love.
God forbid, nobody would feel bad about not giving him a vote because he's never had one.
Right, exactly. All right, moving on. The MVP pick'em. Who's got a better chance at this upcoming NBA season of winning the MVP, LeBron James or Kevin Durant?
I'm going Kevin Durant. You know what I think is what's going to go on in Brooklyn. Maybe they bring in Harden. They're even more dialed in. I think Kevin Durant's just one of those elite talents that you can't even compare it. It's just,
and he's got the story. It'll be the comeback story, right?
If he does it with a new team. Trust me, he'll make everyone aware of that. Guys in their own PR department love pumping the tires of themselves. But I love the talent. I love watching him play, and I think he's going to do it.
I'm going to go with LeBron. LeBron's made a lot of noise lately about him not being MVP. And you know him. He's a PR machine, and he loves talking about himself.
How many games is he going to play, though?
That's the only concern, is he may not play every game.
Yeah, you're right. And that,
he might
but
say, let's just make
him.
The playoffs here and I'll get cooking in the playoffs. I don't care about anything else. I want to be rested. Let's just get some kind of lead here and I'll coast the way through. So I don't even know if he's going to play enough games.
That's a great point. But that would be on LeBron. If LeBron chooses that he's going to play all the games and be a hero and show everyone how amazing of a specimen he is, he's going to push for that MVP. Because I honestly, I know they won the championship and he was the MVP in the playoffs and was fantastic, but this is a guy that has a lot of pride and he was pissed off. And he was doing the Michael Jordan.
Yeah, he was. He was rattled that Giannis won it. How dare you? Do you guys know who I am and what I'm doing? I agree with your logic, Noodles, if he plays every game.
If he plays, I don't think
he will. That's why I have to go with Durant, almost by default. I think if he played every game, I think LeBron is forcing the hand of people to give him one more swan song MVP before it's too late. You know, there's narratives on both sides. You can spell it out. Durant coming back after a year off, new team, brings him to the promised land. Easy narrative, easy vote. LeBron plays every single game after the craziest bubble run in his history. Maybe this is the last great year for him. Give it to him almost as a golden watch MVP scenario. Right. But I'm not convinced LeBron's going to play every game. So I think by default they'll go with Kevin Durant. MVP pick'em continues this upcoming NHL season. Better chance at winning the MVP, Austin Matthews or Leon Draisaitl?
I'm going to say Leon Draisaitl. He's already won one. That therefore he has the advantage. He knows how to put up the points, everything. That's the only advantage I'm giving him. He's done it before. Obviously, the market Austin Matthews plays in is very good. And if everyone gets on his train and he's spectacular, but I think once you won one, you're automatically going to be in the conversation because you're an MVP. Everyone's like, well, he's going to be there. So you've already got that one foot in the door. It's just like Pronger and Niedermeyer back in the day. Every year it was like automatic in the Norris conversation. So he's got his foot in the door, and once you're in there, I think he's got the advantage.
It's a great point, but here's something that I'll throw which could throw a wrench into hurting Leon Draisaitl, and he wears number 97.
Right, no exactly. Kidding.
And that's where if Draisaitl and McDavid have the exact same season, McDavid's getting it, right? Like, that's just – I believe that. I don't know. I could be wrong.
He's the top dog. He's the man.
Okay. Yep. So that could actually be counterproductive. If Austin Matthews gets 50 goals or, you know,
prorated,
they're not
whatever
get, it is. Prorated, has an amazing season, has that heart type of season, you know he's going to get pushed up by this market. There'll be a lot of noise for him to be in it. It'll be the first time we're just talking about Kyler Murray and him being the new guy, the shiny new toy. I would lean towards if they both have amazing seasons, I think Matthews might get the nudge based on the McDavid factor, too.
Yeah, I think that's a bigger factor than the market here. I actually think being in Toronto can hurt your case because anyone not in Toronto hates Toronto and won't vote for Toronto because they hate Toronto.
Yeah, and dialed in, man, and you're unbelievable, you'll get a lot of steam.
But you really have to be dialed in, though. Like, really dialed.
Right.
Last year, he was so dialed in, and he wasn't getting chatter for MVP. You'd get laughed out of the building if you brought his name up to be nominated, not win it. Look what he did last year. He was on pace for 60. He had an unbelievable year. His two-way game has drastically improved. He had a great year, and it's like, nah, come on, that's just Toronto hyping up their own. It's actually counterproductive, I think, being in Toronto. And I think there's a lot of voters who want to go out of their way to prove they're so objective in Toronto, especially the national media, who wouldn't vote for a Toronto guy because they live here, and they don't want people to know that maybe they watch Leaf games more than anyone else.
Name names.
There's a few of them. There's too many.
Names.
No, but I'll say this, though, too.
Like, sons of
he names.
But here's the thing, too, though. Like,
Ned
if they would have had a full season, if they would have had a full season, I don't would he have gotten 100 points?
I think he would have been close. If he had 60 goals, though, Noodle, let's say he hit 60 and he had 94.
Right.
That's better than what Taylor Hall had.
No, you're right. But that was a.
But you can't have that because you're in Toronto. You'd be hyping up Toronto. And Terry,
name names.
Well, it's in general. I mean, and I understand why. If you're a national media object, maybe you know. I'm sure it happens with national baseball media in New York. Don't want to talk about the Yankees all the time. You know, if you're national football media living in Dallas, you don't want to talk about the Cowboys. The Leafs are what they are. But I would say Matthews more because of what you said, Noodles. Because I think if someone's going to get it in Edmonton, it's likely McDavid. All right, moving on here. Better chance at an MVP next season. MVP pick 'em. Alex Ovechkin, Sidney Crosby.
I'm going to go Alex Ovechkin. I just think that he's still dynamic, man. He could still rip home. I don't know. It's you got to prorate it. You can't guess so many goals, but it would not shock me if he's the Rocket Richard winner next year.
No, that maybe shouldn't shock anybody.
Maybe there's some what does Pooley call it when there's a new coach, the bump and play?
There could
be a bump under Laviolette. He could be dialed in, and Ovi could be your Rocket Richard winner. The Caps could be the team of the East that everyone's feared once again, and there's your Hart Trophy winner. I hate to do that because I love Sid.
I'm on Sid because he's been under the radar for a couple of years.
That's where I'm going, Brian. I'm on Sid because he's sitting back and he's working. You know he's training right now.
Oh, yeah.
And you know he's sitting there saying, oh, let me see here. McDavid's been picked as the number one, or there's an argument now about McKinnon and McDavid. My name's, you know, not even in there. Where was he in those rankings and stuff like that?
Right.
People are
chip
starting
on the shoulder
to,
guy.
I think it's a statement chip on a shoulder. This guy has nothing to prove, but in his mind, there's almost like a little bit of Jordan. Like he's going to find
that would be
that
something
motivation.
To prove. That would be something to prove,
exactly.
Right? Like he's not going to speak the way LeBron speaks, but I'll bet you he thinks the same way. Do you know who I am? Do you know what I've done?
Shortened season would help him too.
I think it would. All right, here's McDavid. We've been waiting for him. MVP pick him. Better chance at an MVP this year. Connor McDavid or Nathan MacKinnon?
I don't know. I'm
97 for me.
The only thing that worries me, guys, is if MacKinnon is in that Southwest division and he starts chewing these teams up. Like if Colorado gets to play Arizona and those California teams.
Yep.
It's going to be point night every night for him.
It very well could. I don't think it matters who McDavid plays, though. It's point night. Like, that's the crazy thing about him is McKinnon's got a better overall game. Like, that has been established, and it's a fact. He's a better two-way player, uses his body better. He's a little bit bigger. But I just think McDavid is primed for just, like, I could see 105 points in 60 games. I mean, I wouldn't even be shocked the way he plays. And I think he could just put up such outlandish numbers. You're like, all right, I guess it's McDavid.
You're right. I just, that's my only I guess argument was that the quality of competition.
Yeah,
basically.
And that's a valid one for sure. If he's chewing up California, that's going to go a long way for Nate.
Right. I'm going to take Nathan MacKinnon because the word is already out there, and it was visible, palpable through the poll of the TSN hockey analysts when they made their list of the best player. Who was number one? Answer
Nathan
that.
MacKinnon. Yep.
Nathan MacKinnon. So it's out there, and people, Brian, you're not familiar with this, when I say inside NHL circles
right.
are talking about these types of things. So it's on the mind of everybody watching the game that this is the new sheriff in town.
Okay.
So watch out.
I don't want to be in that circle. I'm a square guy anyway.
You never will
be. I'm a rectangle guy. I don't want to be in that circle. It's
a goofy circle.
You
never will be. You never will be.
All right, team MVPs. Let's fire through these rapid fire.
Yeah.
Montreal, Carey Price or the field?
Carey Price all day long. No, I'll take Carey Price. He's the guy that, with rest, you put that guy in a shortened season where you only give him an allotted amount of games, that guy could be dialed in and just be dynamite every night. Carey Price all day, every day.
I agree on Carey Price, but Jake Allen, if it's a condensed season, may take some of those starts.
Right.
And then you start looking at guys like Shea Weber and maybe a Nick Suzuki, you know, really pushes through, like some of these players that they're you know, I guess looking for to get to the next level. So I'm going to play the field on that one.
Yeah, I'd go with Carey just because I don't see enough star power. You know, it's potentially there. Shea Weber definitely is. Weber would be in the conversation. But
right.
I would go Carey Price. All right, the Vancouver Canucks, better chance at an MVP. MVP pick him. Elias Pettersson or Quinn Hughes?
Pettersson, he's that good. I think he's a top five player in the National Hockey League, and he could easily win the Hart Trophy next year.
I think it's Hughes. He plays more. He plays in every situation. I think he's already the man out there. I think he is so good.
Yeah, and you know, if it depends.
Once
on
again,
who he
I'll
plays
circle
with.
Back to NHL circles. I'll go with Pettersson. Jamie, go ahead.
Go ahead. I'll square back.
Jamie,
to
I mean, NHL circles love both these players. I'm going to say Hughes. I'm going to say Hughes, and I'll tell you why.
NHL circles.
It's such because a dumb
thing. NHL circles.
NHL circles.
Who's
like,
in
there? Like,
anyway,
not you. I think it's Hughes.
Not you. Not happily.
I think it's Hughes because Hughes gets a lot of play from the back end. And he's going to even just be another more year experience. And he may play with that Nate Schmidt, who's a really good skater.
Right.
Going to help him out as well.
Okay, we'll
I'm
come back.
I'm smelling a new segment coming up. NHL circles or squares?
I like that one a lot. Circles or squares is a great, great
game. Yes. I love that, yes.
All right, we've got a couple more MVPs. We'll rifle through, get to our best bets. And O and Al's brother will make their pick for the game tonight. Overdrive continues, TSN 1050. All right, time now for our best bets brought to you by ProLine. Looking at the NFL game tonight and the props. I think Russell Wilson is going to have to throw the ball tonight and connect a lot tonight because I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. That has to be the expectation. So I'll go over the number pass completions for Russ. Under the number total receptions for DeAndre Hopkins at 7.5, and under the number total fumbles lost, throw down 20, you can score 70. You can find my picks on Twitter, at TSN 1050 Radio. ProLine, it's the sports betting game that lets you turn small wagers into big excitement. ProLine, put your knowledge on the line. So here we go. Big ball game tonight. Knew it was coming. The people want to hear from Al's brother for a couple of reasons. He's real due for a win.
Yeah.
But he's been ice cold, so maybe you continue to fade him. And if you've been fading Al's brother and the O-Dog for the past couple of weeks, you're buying islands. You're buying property in Muskoka, on the, you know, in Rosedale.
He's a loser.
Yeah, more or less. So Al's brother, take the floor, buddy. Who do you like tonight and why?
Yeah, these two teams are going in completely opposite directions right now. You got Kyler Murray making a bid for a league MVP. Meanwhile, the Hawks, they've lost two straight. Russ turned the ball over 7 times in those games. And that Seattle defense can't withstand giving up extra possessions, especially against Kyler Murray. That said, I don't expect the picks to keep coming. Russ will cook. Last time these two teams played, he and Tyler Lockett torched Arizona for 200 yards and 3 touchdowns. So I believe the Hawks are going to ball out offensively tonight, and it'll be a shootout. But, man, that Seattle defense is just atrocious. Dead last in the league, going up against the number one offense. They'll be without Shaquille Griffin at corner, which means they'll be starting Trey Flowers and Yugo Amadi. Now, if you see what Hopkins did against Trey White last week, those two do not stand a chance. In the run game, Kenyon Drake is finally healthy, coming off a 100-yard rushing game. Meanwhile, Chris Carson not expected to play tonight for Seattle. So there's a lot more going for Arizona tonight, just being the road dogs. Let's roll the cards, +3, and Kyler for MVP.
Wow. Wow. What a run there by Al's brother.
I'm taking it. I'm taking it.
You're on the Cardinals. How enticing was that? That thing was like a presidential script for a speech.
Does. It sounds amazing, but
the one thing that he got me on is Kyler Murray is so dynamic, Hayes, and that defense for Seattle is garbage. So you put those two things together, you never know. That's that's
and
the one thing
points.
That got me.
You're getting plus points, right? You're getting +3 if you take Arizona tonight.
You don't think Russell Wilson's hearing the whispers, though, too?
Oh, yeah.
So what? So yeah, what?
I'm telling you right
people
now.
In so NFL circles aren't talking like that.
Oh, you wouldn't know about that. You have
no
idea.
No, you wouldn't either.
We don't
know. You are a hater, and you are in zero circles.
Circles and squares. I like squares. I like triangles, rectangles. Octagons. I have no time for circles.
We'll do a segment. I'll make a statement. Say, is that from an NHL circle or a square?
I like it. We'll get to that. More MVP pick 'em tomorrow. We get a lot more. All right. We're out of here. Enjoy your evenings. Enjoy the game. We're back tomorrow at?
You're in no circle.
4 p.m.
We'll chat then.
You've been listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 3, powered by Scarborough Nissan. Driving satisfaction. It's the all-in clear-out sales event. Finance a 2020 Rogue S for 0% APR for 84 months, or get an up to $5,500 cash purchase bonus on select other models. Scarborough Nissan, Eglinton Avenue East at Warden.